This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening at TSN1290.ca, we welcome you to NHL Midweek here on this Wednesday evening. Obviously, a tremendously busy Wednesday evening here, really all day long on TSN 1290. It's been just an absolutely chaotic day with the news coming down earlier this morning. The big trade, Evander Kane, Zach Bogosian, and unsigned goaltending prospect Jason Kasdorf heading to Buffalo in exchange for Tyler Myers, Drew Stafford, prospects Brendan Lemieux and Joel Armia, and a 2015 first-round draft pick that is likely going to be somewhere between number 20 and number 30, as I believe it is the worst of the three draft picks that Buffalo owned coming into this year's draft. Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Tweet at us at Illegal Curve if you want to reach us in studio, and we will also open up the phone lines coming up in about 90 minutes time, 7:30 this evening, your opportunity to get in and share your thoughts on what has probably been the certainly been the biggest trade in the Winnipeg Jets 2.0 history, and probably the biggest trade in the NHL in a number of years. Certainly based on the numbers of eight players being dealt. Let's start it off with the trade. Richard Pollock, I mean, your initial thoughts when the news broke at about, you know, 9:15, 9:30 this morning that this seemed as if it was going to occur.
Well, surprise, Drew, first off, and for a number of reasons. First of which is that Kane was traded while injured before the summer. And I thought he would be traded likely at the draft when it would open up some cap space for some other teams and in the Eastern Conference, especially where I thought that he would go. So I was surprised that he was traded. Now, my thoughts on the trade, I think the Jets have done quite well here. I think Kevin Cheveldayoff and his staff have done a nice job being able to get quite a significant return for Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian, players I think that have their flaws, and we'll talk about their strengths as well, and I think sometimes those are overlooked. But overall, to be able to exact a return like Kevin Cheveldayoff got, that not only helps you now, but helps you in the future, improves your flexibility for the long haul in terms of some options with your roster, and you don't take on any kind of huge, you know, financial commitments. I think it's a really nice trade for the Jets, and if you're a Jets fan, I think you have to be really happy with it. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're a Sabres fan, this happens a lot. We talk about this at trade deadline all the time. Doesn't mean that if you're a Jets fan and you're happy, doesn't mean that you're a Sabres fan and can't be happy as well.
Sure.
So we'll talk about that angle. But as a Jets fan, if you are one, I think you should be very happy with today's news.
Right. And even though we're surprised a little bit in the sense of the timing of the trade and what Kevin Cheveldayoff was able to acquire for Evander Kane, I think if you think about it, it's a pretty good return for a player who was in a position that he wasn't coming back this year,
right. And
a player who wasn't going to attract a lot of interest from teams that are currently in a playoff run. So if you consider it from that point of view, it's a win for the Winnipeg Jets. Now, there are obviously a lot of pieces to this deal, especially coming to the Winnipeg Jets. No offense to Jason Kasdorf, but the key pieces, especially the first-round draft pick, but specifically Brendan Lemieux and Joel Armia, players who were mid-first-round pick, and then Brendan Lemieux, who was an early second-round pick. But if you consider how difficult it was going to be to trade Evander Kane, considering that you take 18 teams out of it, 16 playoff teams, and maybe a couple teams in the Western Conference that are currently battling for a playoff spot. I think, you know, we're going to break down the trade, but I certainly think that even if you take out the first round pick and one of the prospects that's coming back from the Winnipeg Jets, so either Brendan Lemieux or Joel Armia, I particularly like Brendan Lemieux better, but if you take out one of those players, I still think I'd give the edge to the Jets. So I think Chevy did really good here to get a couple prospects, and you know, we're going to go over the trade, but you know, a guy like Drew Stafford, I think even if he doesn't re-sign with the Winnipeg Jets, he helps your third line in the short term.
Well, let me ask you this, Richard. We all expected an Evander Kane trade to happen, not necessarily right now, but certainly before the start of next season. Everybody sort of figured with the way he left the way last week unfolded, he was never playing a game in Winnipeg ever again.
100%. I mean, let's be honest here. He forced Kevin Cheveldayoff's hand into this trade. Now, it didn't have to be now. It could have been later, but it was going to happen.
That's right. So the trade was going to happen. How surprised were you to see it expand beyond simple Evander Kane for one or two pieces to include Zach Bogosian, a guy who really only a couple years ago was thought to be a rock on the Jets' back end, signing that big 7-year contract where you thought he'd be a Winnipeg Jets defenseman, up until he was in his late 20s.
Surprised but not shocked. And some of the trades you think about is how do you how are you able to get a significant enough package back to make it worth your while? And sometimes one guy isn't able to do that. So I'm not shocked, and I think it's identity-wise. I think the biggest thing that the Jets have done here is they've gotten smarter on the ice. And by that, I mean hockey sense. I think that the biggest thing and the biggest asset that both Zach Bogosian and Evander Kane lack is seeing the ice well enough to achieve top status in terms of what's in line with their skating and skills. And by that, I mean, Evander Kane skates as well as any player in the National Hockey League. You could argue, not argue, I think Zach Bogosian skates as well as any player in the National Hockey League. You see these guys in short samples, shoot hard, skate hard, both physical guys. I mean, sure, certainly they both have their injury concerns, but, it looks really good when you look at it that way. But when you see them in games, they can't read the play as well as you would like. And I think the Jets, by making this move, are getting smarter, not only with Myers and with Stafford, but I think long term by removing those guys from your roster and the amount of money they were making and whoever's going to replace them, whether it is internally with Byfuglien and different trades that occur, or internally with Byfuglien, Trouba, Scheifele, and Ladd, I like the IQ of the team going up. Now, there certainly is going to be a lack of foot speed, or a loss of foot speed, excuse me. That's no doubt. I mean, you're going to get slower. But you have a lot of fast players in the team that can make up for that. So it's a balancing act.
Let me stop you right there, Ezzy, and I'll turn this to you first and then Richie. We've heard a lot today about Tyler Myers' foot speed and his skating ability, and a lot of it has been positive. Ted Nolan saying, the guy's 6'8", but he skates like he's 5'8". Kevin Cheveldayoff speaking highly about Tyler Myers' foot speed as well. That's not the way I've perceived Tyler Myers in past when I've watched Sabres games. How have you seen Myers in terms of his skating ability in previous games?
No problem with his skating ability. He's a good defenseman, and I think a lot of people get fixated with the lack of offensive production, and you have to look at some of the teams he's been playing on over the last few years. He's not as fast as Zach Bogosian, but he's a good skater. And for a player to live up to the expectations that were set in a rookie year are often difficult. But, I mean, this is a good defenseman here, guys, and this is a defenseman that a lot of teams were trying to acquire. You heard about teams like Anaheim. You heard about teams like Detroit. You heard about teams like Edmonton that were trying to acquire Tyler Myers. So no problem with his skating ability. Richie mentions, they lose some foot speed, and he's right. When you're talking about Evander Kane, you're talking about one of the fastest players in the league. Drew Stafford is not as fast as Evander Kane. Drew Stafford's a good player. He's got some speed. But I think when you're talking about Tyler Myers, you're talking about a player who's suffered from confidence issues. And let's be honest, I think when a player is the subject of trade rumors, I think it begins to affect him. But I think it's easy to look at a team who's struggling, like the Buffalo Sabres, and pick apart and make certain players scapegoats. So to answer your question, I think he is a fine player. And I think, when you break it down, I think, you're not going to... There's not going to be a significant drop-off, and in fact, I think he's a better defenseman than Bogosian.
Skating-wise, I have a different perception, I guess, than Kevin Cheveldayoff and Ted Nolan. I think there's two different things that we're talking about here. When Tyler Myers gets going, he's fine. He can skate pretty well, but it's those first few steps. He gets caught flat-footed quite a bit, so it takes him a bit to get going. And not surprising for a big guy, right? Big guys take a bit to get going, guys, and... Not all big guys are as fleet of foot as Dustin Byfuglien, but even so, you're making the trade knowing that the guy isn't going to be as he mentioned as fast as Bogosian, but he's a smarter defenseman. He's 6'8", as we know. He uses that length really well. I think better than he has in the past, and he's growing into that. You have to understand, growing into that frame takes time, right? Zdeno Chara's first year, and I know he's off compared to Zdeno Chara. Are you talking right side, left side guys? Different. Chara's mean. See, I don't know if Myers is mean,
but they're compared because they're both tall.
But compared because they're both tall, exactly. But you know, he offensively, Tyler Myers, he's got a big shot. I mean, you're a big guy. He has a big shot though. He can stick handle. He can make plays, sometimes a little bit too methodical in his offensive movements. And by that, I mean, takes a little longer than you'd like. But overall, I think he thinks the game well and smart about the way he uses that big frame. So some of the drawbacks are there. No doubt some of the drawbacks are there, guys, because if he was a dominating defenseman, yeah, Buffalo wouldn't be looking to deal him.
If he was Zdeno Chara, he wouldn't be on the trade block.
Right. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have his merits, because Zdeno Chara, granted it was Mike Milbury, was traded himself. So, I mean, there are, you know, doesn't mean a guy, if you traded, has that many flaws. So, overall, I like what Tyler Myers brings to the table. Can I say confidently that he's better than Zach Bogosian? I can't. But he has the ability to be a very good defenseman. And the Jets don't need him. Don't need him to be a number one a number one right side guy. They have a number one right side guy in my mind right now in Jacob Trouba.
Sure.
They need him to be a number two right side guy, unless they flip him, which we can talk about, because where does Dustin Byfuglien play? I know he's moving back to defense tomorrow. I don't know if that's permanent or not.
Based on what Paul Maurice said earlier today and listening to the press conference after the trade and everything else, it sounded like that Dustin Byfuglien's permanently going to be back on defense. Here's Paul Maurice.
Dolly, have you seen the players yet? Without the smile, I might even put his tooth in for that one. Yeah, Dustin will be on the blue line tomorrow night and be happy to do so.
I don't think he comes out and is that jovial about it if it's only a one game. Now, obviously, circumstances can change. But to me, it seemed like Dustin Byfuglien was going to be on the Jets' blue line for the foreseeable future, not just in the interim.
And if that's the case, then you'd expect the Jets make another move, probably to add another forward. Because then you'd probably expect Stafford to take the spot of Byfuglien up front. We'll talk about the lines and all those things a little bit later. But if Byfuglien does move back, though, in a big picture, then you have to again wonder if Tyler Myers is here long term. But that's for another conversation. In terms of Drew Stafford, you guys know how many times I've mentioned Drew Stafford on this show in terms of a nice fit for the Jets.
Sure.
And I think he's a skill guy. And as he mentioned, being in bad environment, he's been there for a long time. He needs a change of scenery. He's a really good stick handler. I think sees the ice well, can shoot it. I like his skill level as a compliment, and he gives the Jets don't have the highest skill level on their offensive corps, but I think Stafford increases his skill level. He's played it for UND. He's familiar with the area. A bunch of the guys that he's playing with, Minnesota guys, he'd probably have some sort of familiarity with.
He's from Wisconsin, is he not?
I don't know where he's from, but the idea that playing in the WCHA, you have familiarity with some of the players that would have been around, whether it be Mark Stewart, I assume he would have crossed paths with, Blake Wheeler as well. I like what he adds. Obviously, he's a right-handed shooting guy.
Yeah, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
There you go. He can help you now. If they sign Drew Stafford, great. I mean, you probably get him at a discount right now based on his skill level and his production, because his production, to me, has not been commensurate with his skill level. But if they don't sign him, as he mentioned earlier, I don't think it's a drawback. I think still the package that you get. Now, I can't comment on Armia and Lemieux. Lemieux, I watched a little bit of tape on preparation for the draft. I can't even remember really what I saw, and I haven't seen Armia. So I'm going to take what Craig Button says about those two guys and at face value, because he's a knowledgeable guy, and the first-round pick is a first-round pick in a deep draft. So from the Jets, you add depth to the organization, up front especially, which is a need, and you help your team now. Certainly don't get worse, and with Kane being out, with Stafford, you get better. It's a positive to me.
Let's head to break. When we come back, obviously much more on this trade that occurred earlier today. You're listening to NHL Midweek. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
Hi, this is Drew Mindell. Some surprises are good, like a big comeback win. Some aren't, like internet overage charges. That's why MTS high-speed internet is unlimited, so you won't be caught off guard by surprise overage charges. Switch to MTS high-speed internet from only $20 a month for the first 3 months. Conditions apply. Call or visit your nearest MTS store for details.
You're listening to NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
back toward the point. Suter, near side for Pominville. Steps off the wall into where the high spot. Dropped to the point for Spurgeon. Spurgeon put it back toward the line. Intercepted by Bufflin. He's got a partial break and a 2-on-1. Bufflin with Wheeler. Bufflin moves in. Shoots. Scores! Jets win! Jets win! Jets win! In overtime! Dustin Bufflin! An individual rush! And the Jets take this one 2-1. Baby!
Paul Edmonds with the call last night as the Jets did win, beating the Minnesota Wild. Hard to believe there was a hockey game only yesterday. It seems about a month ago at this point. Welcome back to NHL Midweek. Drew Mandel, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, producer Remus here as well. This segment brought to you by Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, a proper-fitting, custom-made mouthguard is a must-have piece of protective equipment. Don't be an Ezzy. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center, 204-487-2226, or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. In that clip we just played, Dustin Bufflin gave the Jets the win last night against the Minnesota Wild. A lot of people saying that the reason the Winnipeg Jets, quote-unquote, have won this trade is because of the two prospects they picked up from Buffalo, the first being Joel Armia, a right-winger, 2011 first-round draft pick, number 16 overall in that draft. He's currently playing with the Rochester Americans of the AHL. I guess right now he's on his way to St. John's to play for the Ice Caps. 25 points in 33 games, 10 goals and 50 assists. The other big prospect, Brendan Lemieux, drafted 31st overall last year, so the first pick of the second round, son of Claude Lemieux, a left-winger, plays for the Barry Colts of the OHL. 46 games played. He's got 50 points for the Winnipeg Jets official OHL pipeline in Barry. Let's talk about the prospects to begin with. Do these guys need to materialize into sort of top six players for this to be a clear-cut win for the Jets, or just sort of...
Well, I think first off, when we talk about classifying things as wins, especially in any trade, but especially in this type of trade with prospects, how they develop, you can't really judge this trade now. I mean, you can say you certainly like the trade, but you can't give it a final grade now, is what I'm trying to say. If these prospects flame out and this is the return the Jets get, well then, and the first round pick doesn't materialize, well, you probably still take your chances if you could go over and do it again, but the trade doesn't look as good. But right now, from this perspective, it looks good, not really knowing, at least personally, I can't speak to the talent level of these two guys. But I've heard good things. So, you mentioned Barry. Certainly the Jets have comfort with Barry.
Yeah.
Now that goes back even to Atlanta, and some of the guys are still here from Atlanta. Brian Little, and you have Burmistrov, and Scheifele, and...
Telegan,
it goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So, again, you have Howerchuk there coaching. He's going to give you a good read on the player. And Lemieux, certainly the Jets, they've drafted Sutter, they've drafted Lowry, and now they have Lemieux. So they like the father connection of NHL players, former NHL players.
Does that speak to, sorry for interrupting you there, Richie, does that speak to sort of, it seems like it's an organizational mantra, to my mind, that they want smart hockey players. Guys who can see the game, guys who understand the game. I mean, there's obviously no guarantees when you're drafting the son of an NHLer. Lucas Sutter flamed out for the Jets, not going to be a prospect, not drafted again in the NHL. But it seems like there seems to be a commitment by the organization to find smart players who understand the game more than strictly based on a talent level.
Yeah, and I think that's a good mantra. I think that's probably a pretty good observation, Drew, that you have there. And so I don't think that's a bad rule to follow. In terms of, Armia, I've heard good things, kind of the comparison to maybe Owen Nolan, kind of a power guy and up and, good shot, defensively has issues, but again, young players are going to defensively has issues. I know Craig Button had mentioned, Drew, you'd mentioned to me that he wasn't as high on Armia as he is on Lemieux.
Yeah.
And we'll see with time, right? We don't really know, but two guys that people have confidence can be top nine guys, you would think, and also, again, forwards in an organization that needs forward depth. It's a nice addition. The first round pick in a deep draft will play itself out. But overall, the Jets aren't going into this blind. They've obviously been scouting these guys, and I know Armia is a Finnish guy, and he was pretty good in the World Juniors when he played for Finland, apparently. So, again, I didn't see him, but heard good things.
He's got the size, 6'3", 201 pounds. So he's certainly got the height that the Jets like, and I'm sure as his body fills out, he'll even put on some more pound. Lemieux, 6'1", 210. So that's a guy who's already been able to pack on some mm-hmm. pounds for a guy who's only 18, 19 years old. A nice size and weight combination for both of those players. Ezzy, your thoughts on those guys and sort of the need for those guys to develop to really evaluate this trade?
Well, I think it goes without saying that those two players, along with the first round draft pick, are huge parts of this deal. Joel Armia, you know, from what I've read of scouts, he's not the most physical player for a guy his size, but he's got quite the scoring touch. Richie mentioned he's been in two World Junior tournaments for Finland. The second World Junior tournament, he put up 12 points, and he was a key part of that Team Finland. I mentioned earlier, the prospect that I like a lot more is Brendan Lemieux, and that might be the Devils fan in me talking, but I think when you hear Kevin Cheveldayoff talking about possibly moving up in the second round to acquire him...
Yeah, they tried hard to do that last year.
I think that tells you a lot about how this organization... you know, views a player of his quality. I think you're talking Brendan Lemieux. You're talking about a guy, you know, that's been compared to a guy like Steve Downey, a little bit bigger than Steve Downey. And I think he has a little bit of more of a scoring touch. But, you know, he's having a really good year in Barrie this year. And, you know, Drew, you're right. Barrie seems to be the Jets' unofficial OHL affiliate when you talk about all of the players that have come up from Barrie. And unfortunately, Alexander Burmistrov's not in the lineup right now, and he's in Russia. But
rumored for a second to be in the trade.
Yeah. It ended up being Kasdorf, of course. But, I mean, there's always been ties between Burmistrov. I guess it was 2 years ago now? 3 years ago? Where he was rumored maybe to be even going to Buffalo for Drew Stafford back in the day. So, obviously, that didn't materialize. But he's still a wild card out, sort of hanging out there in Russia. We'll see if he ever makes it back to the NHL. Rumors abound that... he might in this coming offseason, but we'll see on that front. Sorry, as you go ahead.
So when you're talking about this trade, you're really talking about if you're, you know, looking at it and saying Zach Bogosian for Tyler Myers is a wash here for a second. The two defensemen have the same amount of years left on their contract. Similar age. Tyler Myers, as Remus was chastised for a little bit, he's a little bit older than Bogosian. Myers is 6 months, but essentially the same age. So you're looking at Kane and Kasdorf for Brendan Lemieux, for a first round pick, and Joel Armia. So whether or not you expect those players, and I don't think it's really important at this point, Brendan Lemieux in the OHL, and Joel Armia is obviously going to report to the St. John's Ice Caps, but you're talking about those two prospects and a first round pick, and then throw in Drew Stafford for Kane. So Chevy did pretty good here. As I said, I think I like this trade, even if you don't get the draft pick and you get one prospect and the draft pick, because even though it's going to be a late first rounder, as Richie mentioned, this is a deep draft, and you know the scouts usually don't throw out deep drafts unless they really believe it is. So you're talking about not just McDavid and Eichel, you're talking about guys like Dylan Strome and Noah Hanifin and guys like this that are going to be players that are going to have a significant impact in the NHL. So again, you know, it's tough. You know, Richie mentioned you try to watch as much as you can and read as much as you can from scouts, but the reality is the Winnipeg Jets already have you know, a very good stable of prospects. Chevy was able to make this trade without giving up a Nick Petan, without giving up a Nick Ehlers, without giving up a Josh Morrissey. You know, Jason Kasdorf, he's the third-rated goalie prospect in the system. You still have Connor Hellebuck. You still have Eric Comrie. So, you know, again, you don't want to say that, you know, Chevy won the trade hands down. But if you look at what he was able to get for Vander Kane, a player who really, as Richie mentioned, they were forcing him to trade him. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good deal for the Jets.
The way I look at it, you know, let's say Zach Bogosian and Tyler Myers are a wash because we really don't know. You know,
can I just say that?
Yeah, no, I'm continuing on your point. And then so you sort of cancel, those two guys sort of cancel each other out. Then you're looking at the trade being Evander Kane and Jason Kasdorf. And really, like you said, Kasdorf isn't in their, you know, wasn't in the Jets' real long-term plans. He wasn't signed by the team yet. So, you know, take him or leave him. You know, hopefully the best for him, Winnipeg guy. But, you know, the Jets obviously weren't too concerned about throwing him in with the draft. So you're looking at Evander Kane in exchange for Drew Stafford, in exchange for Joel Armia.
Why don't you look at it this way, Drew? It's easier because, as Ezzy was mentioning, look at it as Kasdorf for Stafford, kind of future prospect. Could be, you know, not sure if you're going to sign him for a guy who's on a expiring deal.
Fair enough.
And then look at it for Bogosian, for Myers, mm-hmm. and then...
Then Armia, Lemieux, and a first-round pick for Evander Kane.
And we're going to talk about the Buffalo perspective after the break here, because I think there's always two sides to this.
Of course.
And, of course, there's two GMs who hang up that phone today. You know, it seems obvious, but there's two GMs that hang up that phone today that say to themselves, well, I think we have a good deal for this organization. And again, that doesn't mean that they both don't have good deals for the organization. But there's another perspective to it. So if you look at it that way, see, I think you need the pick or the, you know, or one of those you need those three guys for Kane, because as much as we hear about, we know a little about Lemieux, and I don't know a ton about him and Armia, have we said that. You know, we know Kane has a certain ceiling, but at the same time, Kane also, like, that ceiling has been sitting there for a while.
Sure.
And he's got to hit it, and he's peaked at times, but he hasn't really consistently, I don't think, hit that stride. So there's a potential there, but there's also a risk in there that he doesn't ever reach that. There's a risk in there that he is a locker room problem. Pretty significant risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and Zach Bogosian, does he flourish when he's not playing behind Byfuglien or Trouba or with, you know, like kind of in the same level, and he's playing, because Zach Bogosian stepping into that lineup on the back end there, and if you've seen Buffalo's defense, well, you know, my apologies, but the opportunities are abound now for Zach Bogosian and Evander Kane. Like, they're going to go there. When Evander Kane's healthy, he's going to play 20 minutes a game on first line left wing.
Yeah.
And you're going to have Zach Bogosian playing 25 minutes a night on the back end. For sure. Maybe even more than that.
And that's why I like the trade, the acquisition of Myers for Bogosian from the Jets' perspective, because you know what Zach Bogosian is as a player, you know, when he's playing with a, you know, a relatively responsible defensive team in front of him. We've seen him this year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really remember what Tyler Myers looks like and what he can be when he's playing with a real NHL team, because the Buffalo Sabres for the last couple of years haven't been a real NHL team.
Well, this year specifically. In the past years they haven't been very good, but not that much worse than the Jets in past years, have they been?
Well, they were, I mean, bottom five last year as well.
Yeah.
I mean, so
Jets.
Right.
The Jets drafted in the top 10, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. So you're right. Yeah. I mean, but I think that I'm curious to see how Tyler Myers' game changes and see if it develops as a result of playing with good defensemen, with a commitment to team defense, and with a good head coach in Paul Maurice, and get away from the tire fire that has been the Buffalo Sabres for the past year plus.
Well, first off, I think Lindy Ruff is a far superior coach to Ted Nolan, so I would qualify that and think that part of maybe this regression that you've seen of Tyler Myers may be attributable to coaching. It's also a lot easier to play defense when you're not in your own end.
Sure.
We've said this before, you know, 40 minutes a night. So that'll be a factor, too. Just the fact that you won't see Myers defending. You know, when you see a guy defending all the time, he's going to make mistakes. And when he's defending less, he's going to make less mistakes. So, it seems obvious, but that's the case. And Tyler Myers, when he's playing 40 minutes in his own zone, he makes a couple errors. Well, the other guy on the other team playing 25 minutes in his own zone, you know, in the same situation, same talent level, won't make as many errors because he doesn't have the opportunity. So that's something to take into consideration. And again, in reality, they don't need Myers to come in here and be anything more than really a Dustin, I mean, than Zach Bogosian was, excuse me. I mean, they don't need him, Ezzy, to be on the power play and be a significant force. Why? Well, because they have Dustin Byfuglien doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Enstrom who can play on the power play. You may not love his power play game, but you have Trouba who can play on the power play. Perreault obviously plays the quasi point on a umbrella 1-3-1 system on the first power play. But there's options there. And that's not, so you don't need to have him feel the pressure. You can play him there, but more importantly, you need a solid stay-at-home guy that doesn't take stupid penalties and plays disciplined within the system, meaning doesn't chase. And Zach Bogosian, because he's such a good skater, had a tendency to chase more than he ought to have. And I think that also speaks to his lack of hockey sense, which I think Myers makes up for. But Bogosian also is able to make up for the lack of hockey sense that he had, in my opinion, by being a tremendous skater. And Myers, in quick transitions in his own zone, stop starts, does not have the same ability laterally that Zach Bogosian does.
And guys, I think it goes without saying that when you have a seven-player deal and the oldest player is 29 years old and mm-hmm. most of the players are mm-hmm. between 18, 19, and 23, 24, you're not going to find out who wins this trade
right instantly.
This isn't a Joe Thornton situation where Joe Thornton goes from, or a Tyler Seguin situation where Joe, back to Thornton, you know, goes there and wins the Art right. Ross Trophy. This is a situation where this is for the short term and the long term. It's been said before, And on the station today, since the trade was broken, not like it was said a month ago, but this is a trade where you're going to have to wait. And, you know, Richie was asking us earlier, you know, does the team that has the best player win the trade? I would say that is the case, and you can make the strong argument, and I think all of us would probably agree that Evander Kane's the best player out of the seven right now. But because you have, you know, especially the first round draft pick, but also you have guys like Armia and Lemieux, not saying that they're going to be 40 goal guys, but I'm just saying, I think, Richie, you're going to know who won this trade by where these teams are 2 or 3 years from now. That's how I think you're going to know. And I think the Jets are better off today than they were yesterday by making this trade. And I think you're going to see it in the years to come as these guys start to play in the NHL, Armia probably before Lemieux.
On that point, they're better off today than they were yesterday. Are they better off? There's a roster better off today than it was a week and a half ago.
Subbing out Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian for Tyler Myers.
On paper, maybe not. But you don't play the games on paper. And there's a chemistry in the room, I think, that probably arises from Evander Kane not being in there. And then long term, you're certainly, again, not only do you hope these players turn out if you're a Jets fan, but it just provides the general manager with options. He wants to trade the first two first to move up in the draft, high up in the draft. He has that opportunity.
That's a good point.
He wants to trade a prospect or two. Well, he's got other ones he can rely on.
Sure.
So now, the idea that the Jets now have Craig Button thinks one of the best, if not the best, systems in the league.
He said it's the best prospect group in the NHL.
So what happens is they're not all going to turn out. And, you know, the good general managers make moves. They trade some of them, take their chances. And maybe what they do is, I don't know, the cheap labor, you know, relatively speaking, of course, is an asset in this day and age in the National Hockey League. But if you want to maybe trade one of them for a current guy a current player who's fairly young who can help you in your top six, maybe you do it now. Flexibility is a good thing.
Drew, I think, you know, I know you want to go to break here, but I think, you know, when the Atlanta Thrashers came over from Winnipeg, I think we'd agree that the cupboard was pretty bare of prospects. And now when you look at the team 4 years later, that cupboard is stacked. There's lots of cookies in that cupboard now.
Not when we're going to be done with them. We're going to be eating all those cookies. Let's head to break. You're listening to NHL Midweek. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
The only time we'll tell how that all works out, but you know, we're getting two pretty good players. You know, that'll help us and make us a little deeper.
That's Jets captain Andrew Ladd speaking earlier today. The big trade, of course, happened about 9 hours ago, give or take, at this point in time. Just recapping it in case you're just joining us. Evander Kane, Zach Bogosian, and unsigned goaltending prospect Jason Kasdorf sent to the Buffalo Sabres in exchange for defenseman Tyler Myers, Drew Stafford, Brendan Lemieux, Joel Armia, and a 2015 first-round draft pick.
I just wanted to say something as well because you know, Reem and I were talking about this. We were at the draft in St. Paul. We met Jason Kasdorf and his family. He's from Winnipeg, we should mention, played in the MJHL. You know, back to what we were saying earlier, it's not that Jason Kasdorf doesn't have the opportunity to play in the NHL. I think what we were trying to say was Connor Hellebuck and Eric Comrie right now on the depth chart.
He's blocked in the Jets organization.
Exactly. So not to say that Jason Kasdorf can't be in the NHL in 2 or 3 years from now. It's just Connor Hellebuck, you know, has, what does he have, 5 shutouts in the AHL. He's a grade-A prospect. So, again, I'm not saying Connor Hellebuck isn't a grade-A prospect. I'm just saying that right now he's a little bit buried in the depth chart. So he could still be an NHL goalie.
Yes, exactly. Let's talk, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's hard to believe there was a Jets game last night, and there's going to be a Jets game coming up tomorrow night as they play in Nashville. I should mention this segment is brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, the official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey. Conveniently located at Cordon and Lanark in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's is a family-owned and operated traditional-style deli. Take it home or eat in their full-service restaurant. Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Let's talk about the Jets' defensive pairings and forward lines going forward. You know, given the trades from today, given the, you know, that Drew Stafford and Tyler Myers step foot into the Jets lineup, Dustin Byfuglien moves back to defense, as Paul Maurice announced earlier today. How do you see the Jets' forward group, and really their second and third lines in particular, looking going forward?
Well, that's an interesting question, Drew. I think you might Drew Stafford, you want to get going offensively. So as you might want to reunite Frolik, Scheifele, and Perreault, you don't want to start Drew Stafford on a checking line with Chris Thorburn and Adam Lowry. You just don't want to do that. Doesn't mean the Jets still need a third line left winger. That's for another day, unless they're going to call somebody up who's. That's going to need to be something they trade for. So let's talk about that. I think what you do is you put Stafford with Scheifele and Perreault. You put him with skill, and you allow him, or you encourage him to flourish, get out of a Buffalo, a different environment. It's been a long time. He's been there. Mm-hmm. And let him kind of have a change
of
environment.
9 years in
Buffalo. But if you play him with Lowry and Thorburn, you're totally changing his game. You're making him simplify his game. I think that's the last thing you want to do. You want to get a skill guy with skill. So I just drop Stafford into Buffalo's spot, and I keep the rest of the lines the same. In terms of defense, we'll get to Ezzie's forwards in a second here. In terms of defense, you're going to see Trouba likely stick with Stewart, I'd say. And then you'll see Myers probably drop in with... I think Myers might actually start off with Sherratt. That's what I would do. And then you'll do Enstrom and Bufflin. Again, maybe that's what I think they might do, not what I would do. But Bufflin and Enstrom, they'll probably throw them back together. Trouba and Stewart seem to be locked in together. And I think you're gonna see them play Sherratt with Myers, because let Myers play with the stay-at-home guy. See what you want him to do offensively. Again, don't put pressure on him to create offensively. But I think sometimes with Enstrom, you put pressure on the guy defensively, because Enstrom will take some liberties. So instead, in this case, what you're going to do is you put him with Sherratt, who's a stay-at-home guy, and you let Myers play a stay-at-home game as well as he, or he can venture out a bit and you can see what he can bring you offensively. And that's what I think they will start out with.
Yeah, Rich, you're probably right. And I think the guy that gets squeezed out, we'd agree, is Adam Partey here.
Yeah.
But, it's unfortunate. I think he was okay. Last game, I know, he didn't have his best game, but... You look at the D combinations, and I think that's less of a problem, Richie, than the forward combinations, because I see your point here. Chris Thorburn obviously is I think you guys know how much I love Thorburn.
He's been playing well right now.
He's been doing a good job on the third line, but I think we'd all agree that ideally Paul Maurice would like him on the fourth line there, and I think, to be honest with you, Chris Thorburn makes the fourth line better. He adds a physical element. I think he's a better skater than Anthony Peluso, but I think, you make a good point, Rich, because even though Michael Frolik and Matthew Perreault were really doing a nice job flanking Mark Scheifele, I think if you put Drew Stafford on the third line, you might not get the best from Drew Stafford. And as we know, Mark Scheifele, he's starting to play a little bit better. But, again, guys, this is a good problem to have. Regardless if the Jets end up signing Drew Stafford, and I don't know if you guys thought of this angle as well, but I kind of look at Drew Stafford as insurance a little bit for Frolik, because Frolik's a pending free agent. It's not guaranteed that Michael Frolik signs long-term. And with Drew Stafford as UFA, I know everybody's kind of looking at him as a rental player, but if you think about it, I don't necessarily know that Richie, these players are acquired in a trade like this, knowing that they're going to be rental players or not. I think there's just as good a chance that Drew Stafford signs a deal. I'm not saying the Jets are going to sign him to a five-year deal. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if Drew Stafford plays well, chips in offensively, plays a little bit on the power play, and the Jets give him a 2 or 3 year deal, especially knowing that Michael Frolik, I think, can command quite a bit of money on the free agent market. He slowed up a little. I don't think Frolik has a point in his last 5 or 6 games here. He's slowed down a little bit. But I think Rich makes a good point here. I think now you want to spread out the wealth that you have. And whether or not Drew Stafford plays on the second or third line, Michael Frolik, Drew Stafford, both wingers who have that versatility that they can play on the second or third line. Right now, I think you look at the Jets and they're better in their top 9 now with Drew Stafford, because really, you could, as you mentioned, Richie, I think Chevy might bring someone else in as well, especially knowing that the team is a buyer now, and the chances, there's really a small chance that this team isn't making the playoffs.
And you look at it also, I think Stafford helps your second power play unit.
Sure. Expand on it.
He's a shooter, Richie.
Well, I mean, he's a skill player, isn't he? And that's the thing. You want to play Trouba and Enstrom in the back end? Fine by me. If that's the setup you're going to utilize, but if you're looking at your third, I know you could like Lowry's size, whatever it may be. I mean, Thorburn and the other fourth line guys obviously aren't in consideration. Frolik, I don't think, is an effective power play player. So you look at it. Well, then you have Scheifele and you have Stafford and you have Perreault, who's obviously in your second line guy, and he's playing on your top unit. Stafford gives you a different look there, and you might want to, I think if you want to put in Lowry and make him kind of the goal line net front guy on the rotation, and have if you want Shifley on the off wing, then there's some setup problems that you may face, but it gives him another option. And with Frolik being a right winger and Stafford being a right winger and shooting different ways and different alignments, there are options there that weren't there before, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and Drew Stafford, as you mentioned, is only 4 years removed from a 31-goal season, and he scored those 31 goals in 61 games. So this is a guy that, you know, he's had, you know, you talk about streaky goal scorers. You know, Thomas Vanek, who obviously was a Sabre not too long ago.
Oh, was he not terrible last night?
Well, no, I agree. He should give that $6 million back.
Stealing money last night.
Drew Stafford is a shooter, and as Richie mentioned, he has the ability to contribute on the power play. Don't look at the fact that he's got 9 goals, because, you know, Cody Hodgson, who was supposed to be the Sabres' second-line center, mm-hmm. has been a healthy scratch. So the Sabres are a mess, but, you know, Drew Stafford gives this team some options now on the second and third line.
You mentioned, though, as a guy who's not that many years removed from a 30-goal season, a guy who's struggling a little bit to score, to put the puck in the net this year, who does that sound exactly like?
Who's that?
Evander Kane. So, true. I mean, there's a lot of, you can see, you know, there's a lot of parallels, and then, both guys may be needing a new scene. The question.
Different players,
but I'm saying the storylines behind them, in that they both have achieved this great success,
right.
30 goals, both have been struggling to get back up to that point again, and now it's a matter of will this, the new locations for both those players bring them back to past glory.
Stafford can play a little more, I mean, Kane is a very vertical player, but I mean, you know, he's up and down that wing, and Stafford's a little bit more horizontal, and that stick handler, very kind of shifty. Again, he's not 22, but I like the addition. Again, no risk. You don't like what you see, you let him go. You like what you see, you look at an option of re-signing him. He's probably not going to sign long-term because he wants to increase his value,
sure.
which is minimal right now. And he's making a pretty big contract right now. He's socked away quite a bit of money. I think 4 years he's been making for the past few years, but he, again, increasing the skill level on the team, and you look at the defensive pairing, there's options back there, especially if you're going to move Byfuglien back there. I'm interested to see how I want to talk about that for a second. Byfuglien on the back end, again, there's a minute allotment here.
Sure.
Who's playing where and how many minutes?
Well,
and
Richie, that's a good point. Sorry to cut you off here, but, you know, the Jets, Tobias Enstrom leads the team. You know, he averages about 23, 24 minutes a game. They don't have Ryan Suter, who plays 29 minutes a game. But now, if you have Byfuglien back there, who obviously plays, he'll always go out there, usually, unless he's out there before the power play, but he'll go out there and play first power play minutes. But I said this to you guys last week, and obviously I will readily admit I did not think Evander Kane was getting traded. I thought we'd be at the draft in Florida. Hopefully we're at the draft in Florida, and I thought Evander Kane would be traded there. But now I think a real kind of, it's been talked about, but I think something that really is almost, I don't know if you want to call it addition by subtraction as a forward, but having Buff back there, I think really changes things. And I was really a proponent of having Buff on defense, even without Evander Kane in the lineup, because I think he was playing that well. Now, Dustin Byfuglien last game might have had the last couple of games might have been the best forward for the Jets, scoring the overtime winner. But the point is, Richie,
as a defenseman, very effective forward.
Absolutely, but you make a good point. Why not put Tobias Enstrom and Byfuglien together, and then put Myers with Ben Chiarot? And I don't think. I mean, people like to think that, you know, it's Zach Bogosian right-handed shot, Tyler Myers right-handed shot. He'll just slip in with Tobias Enstrom, and it's possible they might, Rich. But I think that, you know, when you look at Dustin Byfuglien, has shown the ability, especially this year, he can play bigger minutes. Mm-hmm. He has no problem playing as the first pair.
Let me ask you guys this question, and quickly, because we're going to be right up against the break. Is there any, do you see any of the three right side guys switching sides to maybe eat some of those minutes on the left side?
Nope. I don't.
It's tough to do it, Richie, when you haven't done it. It's one thing if a guy plays on the opposite side, like Jay Harrison.
I think Bogosian actually was the only one who had done it as a right side guy last year, I believe.
He did it when he started off playing with
Truba. It wasn't long.
And it didn't last long.
He didn't do it for long.
And so, I mean, this is the thing. I don't think that's going to happen, Drew. And the reason I say putting Myers with Chiarot also is a pressure thing. You drop him on the third pairing, let him kind of just ease his way into the lineup, you know, not playing his tough minutes, and maybe gain some of the confidence that he lost. You know, alternatively, you can certainly say drop him in right away and see if he can get that confidence quickly. And that would probably look at playing him with Enstrom and trying to, you know, play him in basically the top pairing, although, again, I've said it many times, Trouba to me is the best defenseman on the team, hands down. And I know Byfuglien's been a big force, but he's not Jacob Trouba in terms of his defensive ability. So, again, we're talking about options, and this was not an option, pun intended, last year and the years prior.
Let's head to break. You're listening to NHL Midweek. When we come back, we're going to look at the trade from the Buffalo perspective. You're listening to TSN 1290's continuing coverage of the Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian trade.
You're listening to NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
Shortly before 7 in the evening, you're listening to NHL Midweek. Drew Mindell, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, producer Remus. Reminder, 7:30 tonight, we open up the phone lines. We'll hear your opinion on the big trade that went down earlier this afternoon, this morning rather, between the Jets and the Buffalo Sabres.
We were talking off air. You know, it'd be interesting, you know, the timelines of when this happened, right? If this trade happened a year and a half ago, when Kane would come off about a 30-goal season around then, yeah. And Bogosian, I guess, signed his new deal.
And everybody thought the sky's the limit for him as a defenseman. Charlie Huddy's turned him back into the guy who was drafted in the high first round.
It's interesting that way, isn't it? Like, any Jets fans have been approving of this trade? And Myers' stock would probably have been at an all-time low then. Just something to note. Also, another question, again, these are just thoughts that come to my head. Another question is, you know, what could the Jets have gotten more of a return had they traded both of these two players separately?
That's two really good points, Richie, because
I don't know.
I think, you know, that's a good topic for discussion, because you look at Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian, and I think a big element of this is not just the future, but what you think I don't know if you want to call it cost benefit, but for Tim Murray, you know, a lot of people saying, Buffalo Sabres have been fleeced, and again, I think the Jets won this trade today. I'll admit that. You could say, yeah, sure, I'm biased, I'm in Winnipeg, but I really think, you know, when you consider, you get a couple of good prospects in Lemieux and Armia, you get a first round pick, you get a Tyler Myers, a really good defenseman, a big physical defenseman,
Calder Cup winning defenseman.
You have to figure into
Calder Trophy winning defenseman. Sorry,
Tim Murray has to believe, guys, that a year from now, 2 years from now, because obviously Evander Kane is not playing for the rest of the year now that he's had shoulder surgery. Tim Murray, Richie, has to think that 2 years from now, Connor McDavid maybe in Buffalo,
right.
He has to think that, yeah, Evander Kane could score 40 goals with the right center.
100%. That's exactly what he's thinking. And from the Buffalo perspective, Drew, I know we want to transition to that. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go back on the old mantra, best player in the best, who a team that receives best player in the trade wins the trade. Now, I think that the Jets targeted Buffalo for a reason, many reasons. I think one of them is that Buffalo had a depth of resources in terms of draft picks and prospects. The Jets wanted to cash in on that, and Buffalo wanted some top-end talent, and they had the pieces to be able to do that. So the teams matched up well in that respect, and there's no trade clauses having kicked in for Myers, Kane, or Bogosian, because none of them are UFA eligible yet. That's going to kick in soon.
Let me just interrupt there and explain the CBA rule. A player can sign a contract that has a no-trade clause in it, but that does not take effect until that player is eligible for unrestricted free agent status under normal circumstances. So even though he's signed away their UFA status for X number of years, the no-trade doesn't kick in until, say, year three on a 7-year contract extension, as was the case with Zach Bogosian.
So I think Myers as well, right? So
yes, Myers as well.
I think when you look at it from Buffalo perspective, they think Tim Murray clearly didn't like Tyler Myers. Like, I mean, don't personally, but didn't think he was on the market for a while. So Tim Murray is saying, okay, I think that Myers is somebody I want to move out. We have Ristolainen in the system, puck moving right side guy. We have Zadorov. I always pronounce his name wrong. On the back end, some guy, and he's been playing really well lately. So some young guys in the back end. Let's add another minutes eater, a guy who can skate. This is a fast game. The game's moving quickly now. You have to be able to keep up. And I can trade two of my second tier guys, a Lemieux, because, you know, they're not talking top end. I don't think Craig Button thinks they're going to be first liners. So Lemieux and Armia can trade a couple of the top end second tier guys. I can add a ceiling top end guy. Like, Bogosian's a third overall pick, and Kane's a fourth overall pick, and it doesn't really matter now. But Kane has the ceiling of, say, that 40 goals that people see for him, possibly.
Top line left winger.
And he says, a first round pick. Well, heck, I already have three of them. I have so many draft picks. I'll trade one of them. And it'll be the lowest one. I think Buffalo's option, assuming it'll be the lowest one.
Mm-hmm.
and depending where they land and all that stuff. I'll trade him a pick, and I'll have a bunch of other picks and a bunch of prospects. There's a 50 contract rule I have to follow, and all those factors. So Buffalo's saying, and off our roster, we're losing Drew Stafford anyways. We don't care. So we're losing Drew Stafford. We don't think Tyler Myers is maybe as good as some other people think he is. And these prospects that we have are good prospects, but we'll have a better chance filling secondary role players than we will secondary players like second line players than mm-hmm. we will top end guys. And here we have a chance to get a guy who can be a top end guy. We'll play him 20 minutes a night. We'll ride him, and we'll hope his attitude problems or alleged attitude problems are blown out of proportion playing in Canada, whereas in Buffalo, still obviously a big sports town close to the border, but not the same as playing in Canada. We'll take our chances, and I'm sure Tim Murray hung up the phone, as we said earlier, like all GMs do, and said, hey, I feel pretty good about this.
And Richie, that goes to your point that Tim Murray thinks that next year, 2 years from now,
he's
going to win the trade because he has the better players in the trade. So he thinks that Evander Kane is better, will turn out better than both of the prospects he gave up or even the first round pick. And he thinks that Zach Bogosian, you got to keep that in mind too. Because again, you know, you said that you couldn't say with confidence, you know, I like Tyler Myers, I guess, a lot better. I don't think that we're talking a significant improvement. I think the reason why I like Tyler Myers a little bit better, a little bit bigger, and he's got more offensive ability. But I shouldn't take away anything from Zach Bogosian, because I got to say, Zach Bogosian, the last, you know, little few weeks here, I think this year, especially compared to last year, Richie, he's been better. He's been more focused, and especially, you know, I thought even against, you know, the Minnesota Wild, even though that was a pretty boring game, I thought Bogosian was pretty good.
Yeah,
so Richie's right. I mean, ultimately, of course, the trade is good. Who wins the trade is going to be determined a few years mm-hmm. from now, but it's going to be determined by who has the better players in the trade. It always will be.
And Buffalo didn't sell the farm to get these guys.
Right,
because they have so many assets, and that's what happens. They have so many assets. They didn't sell. If this trade doesn't work out for Buffalo,
they still have the guy they drafted in the first round in 2012, 2013, 2014.
Don't forget about Sam Reinhart.
And two first round picks this year.
Yeah,
not the three. Now two. They have second. So
the future's like, still bright in Buffalo.
That's when you're talking about risk. You know, Kevin Cheveldayoff is fairly risk averse. Mm-hmm. So I think Buffalo kind of went for the homer here. Right, but they're still feeling okay if they don't get it. If they fly out at the warning track, they still have a bunch of prospects. Kevin Cheveldayoff went for the double, and I think got it. And the question is he get anything more? And that's kind of in line with, you know, Tim Murray, a little bit more of a gambler, and Chevy a little bit more Cheveldayoff a little bit more conservative.
Much more on the trade coming up in hour number two. You're listening to NHL Midweek. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
One hour down, one hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, online TSN1290.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Drew Mandel alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Remus gets us on and off the air. This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. This week at Rumors, Chad Daniels is in town. Tickets available at rumorscomedyclub.com, online, of course. And just a reminder, Sean Wayans coming to Rumors April 16th to 19th. Both the Friday and Saturday shows are already sold out. So if you want to see Sean Wayans, one of the Wayans brothers, star of, well, too many movies for me to list right now, you better get your tickets very quickly. So far, only Thursday night and Sunday evening are left. Four sold out shows already for Sean Wayans, rumorscomedyclub.com.
I want some tickets.
I know. Well, you better go to rumorscomedyclub.com and you know, bring out the credit card and, you know, give it over and buy some tickets for Sean Wayans.
I don't have a credit card.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, sell some blood and bring the you know, the money you get from selling your blood and buy some tickets for Sean Wayans.
I want to go to that.
Okay, well, get on it.
I really do.
Good. Let's talk about the connection between Craig Oster, Evander Kane's agent, and Tim Murray, the general manager in the Buffalo Sabres. Quick Google search produces an article from Bruce Garriock back in January of 2014. And I won't quote the entire article. It's part of his, I think, Sunday News and Notes column. Quote, speaking of Buffalo, agent Craig Oster of Newport Sports may have declined an offer from Tim Murray to be the assistant general manager. So we know those two individuals are close with one another, that being Craig Oster and Tim Murray. How much of a factor do you think that played into Evander Kane ending up as a Buffalo Sabre earlier today?
I think it's probably a factor, Drew. I think when you're doing your due diligence, you're probably checking in with sources and people you know around the league. And if you are close with Craig Oster, who we believe Tim Murray to be. And Tim Murray, remember, in terms of, you know, you can sometimes people say Bruce Garriock. Garriock puts some things in his columns that aren't necessarily what other people believe to be true. We should qualify that by saying Tim Murray is the nephew of Brian Murray,
sure.
Who, you know, in Ottawa, and there's a base there, right? So you probably have pretty good knowledge of what's going on in the Senators organization and what stems from that. So with that being said, if their relationship is pretty strong, and we're led to believe, at least by that article and another, you know, chatter I've heard, that it's strong, then you're going to rely on the relationships that you have. And if Oster is Kane's agent, then you're going to say, okay, you know, is he okay with coming here? What's his story? What's his deal? What's his health status? How is he in the room? How else? So I think that's a factor for sure. I bet you, because I don't think the Jets were trading to the Western Conference, first thing. But second thing, I don't think every team in the Eastern Conference was into it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at this trade, Richie, this trade didn't just happen for that reason, obviously.
Right.
I mean, you're acquiring a player who has the ability to change games, and he has the ability to maybe not get to 40 goals, but he has the ability to be a perennial 30-goal scorer, I would say. And when you talk about the future, you know, Sam Reinhart, pardon me, and Ristolainen and Zadorov, and the fact that, you know, there is a good chance that they get Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel, I think you have to think that that was the reason and not because of that connection. But I don't think that that's not something to explore. But I think that, you know, that's more of a side issue, right? I think you'd agree with that, Drew.
Yeah. Pierre LeBrun of ESPN.com, TSN Hockey Insider, spoke with Evander Kane, got the first interview with Evander Kane since the whole incident went down in Vancouver about 8-9 days ago at this point. Here's some quotes from that. I'm excited, very excited about the trade, said Evander Kane. Once I talked to Tim, that being Tim Murray, and I talked to my agent, Craig Oster, there's a lot of excitement for the future in Buffalo. Just looking at next year, they're going to get a top pick, and that's exciting. Just to have one of those two guys maybe to play with next year, plus the other young players on that team. The sense I got from Buffalo is that, yes, they're rebuilding, but they're not going to sit around and wait. They're looking to do something now. It's nice to go somewhere where you feel wanted, and you feel that they want to put you in a situation to have success. Let's talk about that last line first. Shot across the bow of the Winnipeg Jets organization?
Yeah, I mean, I assume so. And, you know, Drew, I mean, any player, you know, say what you will about Evander Kane, any player who gets traded, regardless of if they want to be traded or not, fairly clear that Evander Kane wanted to be traded, they feel like they have something to prove. And he's going to use that as motivation. Whether or not that's actually the case or not, he's certainly going to convince himself of that because that's going to make him play harder. And I don't think there's any question. You know, Evander Kane, there's no question about his willingness to, you know, dig in the corners and come into camp and shape and all those things. Like, he's going to be motivated as always. That's never a concern. And I think probably what he's thinking after talking to the GM there and his agent is, well, you're not playing behind Andrew Ladd anymore. You're number one left winger. No doubt about it. So you come into camp, you're going to play, as we said earlier, 20 minutes a game. You'll play first power play. You get to do whatever you're going to do. And we'll see how good you can be. And so I'm sure that's motivating for him because he sees opportunity. And with opportunity, he sees an ability we've heard him say this himself. He thinks he can score probably 40 or 50. Now let's try and get to 35 first, but that's, you know,
get back to 30 first.
Sure, but the idea is, yes, you know, the player's going to have belief in himself. And then most general managers and scouts will tell you they'd rather have belief in himself than not.
Than doubts.
And Richie, I think, you know, guys, an important point here, you know, it's clear, well, if Buffalo wasn't going to finish 30th in the NHL, this trade ensures that they finish 30th. Now, that doesn't mean with the lottery rules, that doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to get the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm. They might get number, but it
would be shocking if they didn't get it. Yeah, exactly. It would be shocking. Well, I think they can't. They can only drop two.
They can only drop one spot.
One, okay.
The rules change after this year,
right,
where
okay.
It's much, where it's a more legitimate lottery.
And then after that, they could drop two.
After that, I think they can drop three.
Three?
If I'm not
okay.
mistaken.
Okay, that's right, Drew. And that's why you're here, to make me look good. Yes. Even though I don't need someone to make me look good.
Here's more from Evander Kane, talking about the controversy that erupted in the last week. There's definitely a lot more to it than some of the funny storylines that came out. Sometimes you have to just let a story die, and I guess that's what we'll do. But it was definitely disappointing with how everything shook out, and some of the information was misconstrued, misleading. Some of the facts came out wrong or didn't come out at all. That's to be expected, but I'm definitely glad to be moving on, and I'm going to have a fresh start with a new team. I'm looking forward to the future, for sure.
Right, Richie, and, you know, of course, you know, we talked about this last week when we were the Evander News Network, as Huss put it. TSN 1290 became the Evander's news network. But, of course, we're never going to know all the details. What color was the tracksuit? Was the water caught? No, I'm just kidding. But if you look at this, though, it's all about the fresh start. And you look at Evander Kane, and next year he's going to have a fresh start with one of the youngest teams, if not the youngest teams in the NHL. And, Richie, as you mentioned, and you were right about this, Tyler Myers also gets a fresh start. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the most popular guy with Tim Murray. He wasn't the most popular guy with Ted Nolan. Now Tyler Myers, I mean, Tyler Myers is 25 years old. As we know, defensemen don't mature as quickly as forwards. The guy has a bright future. He's under contract, was it 2019?
I believe so, yes.
So, I mean, he's locked up here. Tyler Myers is going to be a big part of this future with a young defense, with Jacob Trouba there, with Josh Morrissey coming up. So, again, you know, Evander Kane might be saying, you know, all the story didn't come out. I mean, let's be honest, guys, that's water under the bridge at this point. We talked about this. We did an entire show on Evander Kane and, you know, the tracksuit controversy and, you know, the incident with Buff. You know, speaking of that, it's going to be fun when Buffalo comes into town. It's not going to happen this year, but...
Yeah. That should be a very... That becomes a hot ticket when Evander Kane's going to make his return to Winnipeg. You mentioned the incident with Buff. Here you go. This is more from Evander Kane in the article from Pierre Lebrun. I'm actually one of the guys that doesn't mind that kind of stuff, to be honest, he said of the tracksuit in the shower. That's kind of a funny part for me hearing all this. I'm a pretty tough guy mentally and physically. I think if people thought it was just about that's fine. That gives me a pretty good laugh. It's a fresh start. I'm excited, Kane said. And that was the end of the quote in the article with Pierre Lebrun of ESPN.com and TSN Hockey Insider.
I truly believe, guys, especially when you have a team like the Winnipeg Jets, Richie, that these guys want to move on here. I really don't think either of these guys think about this. That incident happened, and obviously it rubbed Evander Kane the wrong way, but I don't think for a second that Bufflin is thinking about this on a daily basis. He's in the playoff
Bufflin's
push.
Probably not. Kane probably is, but he's got nothing else to do.
He's got to rehab a shoulder surgery. That's about it. And then look for a place in Buffalo now.
And you know, as you talk about it being in the past, and the truth is that for the Jets' perspective, they get these guys in that can help them now. That's all they think about is the playoffs. I mean, they don't even want to think about Evander Kane. I don't think if this trade wasn't made, they would think about Evander Kane too much. They want to move forward. And, you know, I think those statements were fairly loud and clear. Blake Wheeler, Dustin Bufflin, I guess last week. See, only a few days ago. Seems like it was about 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. It was only 8 days ago, and it seems like it was about 3 months ago. But you know what? The results prove for themselves on the ice. 2-0-1 since the incident happened.
They've certainly come together even more so than before, and they've played well. And they've played especially well, I thought, yesterday against the Wild. Could have won that game by more than 2-1 in overtime. So it's encouraging if you're a Jets fan, the way they're playing and this move, and you're looking forward now. You're looking forward to the playoffs, and as you should be. The Jets have a pretty big stranglehold. I know the LA and Minnesota are coming and will probably keep coming, but if the Jets, in my mind, play like they did yesterday, they won't have much of a concern.
Let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Brian Kojal from WGR 550 Sports Radio in Buffalo. You're listening to NHL Midweek. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
Yeah, Kevin had called me, but that dates back... you know, a couple years, 3 years maybe, as assistant GM with Ottawa, and now the GM here. You know, you always make your calls around, and he's known for some time that I'm a fan, and that if they ever did decide that they were going to move him on, that I should be one of the guys they call, and they did.
That's Buffalo Sabres general manager Tim Murray speaking on WGR 550 radio in Buffalo.
Let's get Remus in here. Let's confirm that Tim Murray was 100% checking his phone right when he was answering that question.
He's getting a lot of text messages. Come on.
That was the classic pause, read your phone, answer.
Continue to answer
the
question.
I've done it before.
Yeah. You've done it on this show many times before.
No, Drew.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the aforementioned WGR 550 radio in Buffalo, we're pleased to welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Brian Koziel. Brian, good evening, and thanks very much for joining us.
Sure, guys, no problem.
Brought you on, obviously, to talk about next week's big Sabres-Devils matchup.
It's like every game is a big one for the Sabres this year, right?
Exactly. You know, just you got so much excitement surrounding that big game next Tuesday. Anyways, Brian, obviously brought you on to talk about the trade. You know, from the Buffalo perspective, how surprised were you to see the trade happen and see Tyler Myers and Drew Stafford and among some other players leave Buffalo earlier today?
You know, Tyler Myers has been mentioned for a while with trade rumors for a lot of teams. But Tim Murray has been pretty, you know, staying put on saying that he has had no desire to trade him, but that he would listen to anybody that called, which is pretty much what he said about most of, I guess what you'd say, the better players on Buffalo, however few there are left on this NHL roster. The contract that Myers has, the inconsistency that he has had this year and in previous years, I think it led to the fact that he was open to being traded. I also think if you look at the Sabres prospects, which most people are saying is very good, comparable to maybe other organizations, if you basically said, okay, forwards, D, goalie, where are they at their best in terms of prospects and younger players, it's D. They've got a lot of defensemen that they like. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's where they were looking, that he was thinking that, you know, Tyler Myers is a very good player, but maybe we can afford to give up him in order to go get a player of Kane's stature. And obviously you have to give up something good to get something good. And I think that's kind of where he kind of sat there with Myers, is just, you know what, the ceiling for him is still very, very, very high, but maybe just because of the fact he hadn't seen it every single game, which is very tough to do on the Sabre team just because of how poor they are, maybe he thought, you know what, this is a guy maybe I can go ahead and afford to give up, and you got to get something good in return, and obviously he hopes Kane's going to do that for him.
Brian, Sabres general manager Tim Murray said today that he has no concerns about how Evander Kane's going to fit in with the team, and, you know, relating to the incidents that happened in Winnipeg this year and in previous years. Do you have any concern that Evander Kane is not going to be able to fit into the Sabres dressing room, and are you concerned at all that maybe there isn't that leadership group that was said to be, you know, something that would really help Evander Kane take that next step in his career?
I want to say there's definitely got to be some concern. I don't know whether it's small or not. I would say it's probably small. He's still young, Kane is, as you guys are obviously fully aware of. So maybe it's just part of him maturing as a player. Maybe a change of scenery will help that. I think if Brian Gionta was not here, then maybe I'd have a little more concern. Gionta, if he does nothing on the ice this year, at the very least, he's kept this locker room together. This team, which has gone through horrid streaks of bad hockey, at times where you feel like there could have been fingers pointed and the locker room falling apart, it's actually been quite good. And the Sabres, even the years that they've made the playoffs, the few seasons after Chris Drury and Danny Briere left, probably maybe 3-4 seasons ago, the locker room atmosphere and sometimes the blame going around was much worse than it is this year, when you'd think it could get out of hand because their record's so bad. But Gionta's done a pretty good job, I think, of kind of keeping the team together. Also, Josh Georges is here, which, to me, just getting to know him, hearing him when we've interviewed him, gotten to really respect what he means to the locker room. So I think there's probably more leadership here than you'd think the worst team in the NHL would have. They're very low on talent, but Gionta and Georges and guys like that, I think, can maybe be a big part in hoping that they can keep Kane to where they need him to be when he comes in here and obviously starts playing next fall.
You know, Brian, when you look at from the Jets' perspective, Tyler Myers, obviously you've seen him play a lot more than people in Winnipeg have and we have. What are his biggest strengths and, you know, conversely, what are his biggest drawbacks?
Biggest strengths, I think, to me, I mean, I know people right away say the size, and I think that's definitely a strength. But what I like even more about his size is the fact that when he gets his wheels going, he can bring the puck up the ice, I think, just as good as any defenseman in the NHL. And the only thing that I think is maybe part of the reason why fans around here kind of grew maybe on the bad side of Myers is that he just didn't do it as consistent as he did during that rookie season when he put on a show every night, won the Rookie of the Year, and I think immediately the bar was set at 10 out of 10 for Myers. Mm-hmm. I think Myers is a great player. There are nights when he gets those wheels going and he brings the puck out of his own end and takes it the length of the ice. I'm sitting here saying, wow, I hope they never trade this guy because he looks like a top 10 defenseman in the league. Then there are nights where he looks like at times he makes very poor decisions, and there's times it looks as though that his skates are tied together. Now, I know part of it is probably when you're on a team like the Sabres, and they are just so low talented at times, Myers sometimes is put in some rough spots. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt when I say he's been a little more inconsistent. I still think he's excellent. I still think that, you know, the Winnipeg is getting a wonderful player in Myers. The number one strength for me, though, I think of him is just, you'll see it, you know, he just, the rush up the ice when he gets those skates going, you know, it looks like a guy shot out of a cannon because of how big he is. Mm-hmm. His speed looks even more exaggerated. So I think that's his number one strength. Obviously, his size is there, but I wouldn't call him rugged either at the same time. Mm-hmm. If he can just play consistent, the Jets are getting a hell of a player.
You're listening to NHL Midweek on TSN 1290. Our guest is Brian Koziol, Sabres Radio Network game host. He also hosts on WGR 550 Sports Radio in Buffalo.
Brian, I mean, same question really here. And Drew Stafford, obviously a guy you've seen. Myers has been there for a while, but Stafford's been there for quite a while. Back on those teams that you mentioned, Drury and Briere, I believe he's on those squads as well. So yep. What is the strength of Drew Stafford's game and what is his weakness, and has his game changed over the past couple of years?
Stafford, as a leader, I think has really grown under Ted Nolan. I think because the Sabres have gone through a lot of transition here in the last year or two, and Stafford, as you mentioned, ironically the last player to play on those conference finals teams that went back-to-back out of the lockout. He's the last one that played in those games, so it's officially now turning the page on the Sabres roster from there. He has really become a leader because he's been in the organization for so long, and Ted Nolan, I think, really is going to miss Drew Stafford because of the fact that he's turned into a really mature player. Stafford, to me, if you said what's a weakness, at times he looks like that great power forward with a ton of skill. The problem is sometimes he plays soft, I think, and that's probably also why maybe he doesn't score as often as he should, because I just don't know if he always is using his body as he probably could. When he uses it, boy, he looks tremendous. And there's been some times this year where he, again, you look at what he does out there with his size. He'll go and win a battle in the corner, and then he'll put on a move as he's on his way to the net to score, and you say, wow, that's the Drew Stafford that we know is there. Just with his frame, you'll see moments where you'll say, wow, this guy's got a complete game. And then there's games where he looks as though maybe he's not giving it all. And I don't know if it's an effort thing with him. I don't think it is. I just think at times he doesn't use his body properly when he should, because he's got such a pretty good frame. So he definitely has scoring ability. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure with the fact that he'll be playing with more talented players that will help. When he was playing with the good players, like when the Sabres had a lot of depth, of course, back in those days when Drury, Briere, Vanek, those sort of players were there, he put up great numbers. So I would expect that his numbers are going to go up just automatically, because the set of forwards that he's going to be playing with the Jets is going to be a little step up than what he was here in Buffalo.
Brian Koziol is our guest on NHL Midweek. He's the Sabres Radio Network game host. Brian, sort of sticking with the players acquired by the Jets, Joel Armia. Obviously, you wouldn't have seen as much of him. He's been in Rochester for the last couple of years. What was the chatter around the Sabres front office about him as a prospect going forward?
I think there was some pretty positive vibe about him. Last year, when he was in the American League with Rochester, there was a lot of inconsistency, and I think that's what maybe Tim Murray was talking about this year coming in when asked about Army. Like, you know, is he a guy that can make the NHL roster? And he says he has talent, but he said he didn't see it all the time. This year in Rochester, I think what we're hearing is that he is putting it together. The few games that he had been called up with Buffalo this year, I wouldn't say that I've seen a huge impact. If you're asking me to project maybe where he would be, mm-hmm. I'd say maybe he could fit in as a third-line player, but I don't know if I see him doing more than that. Again, he's still very young, but I haven't kind of seen that big flash like maybe you see sometimes when a guy calls up, even if you don't see it consistently from these young guys, sometimes you'll see that flash, a shift here or there, and I didn't really get that all the time from Armia, but he has been having a much more consistent year in terms of, I guess what you'd say, contributing offensively in Rochester in the American League, so I think you're getting an NHL player. I just don't know if you'll ever see him be a top six forward for the Jets.
Brian, as you know, Tim Murray didn't just make one trade today. He traded Jonas Enroth to the Dallas Stars for Anders Lindback and a conditional third-round pick. What were your thoughts on that trade, and is Tim Murray done leading up to the trade deadline?
The answer to your second question is definitely not. He, even as you said there, it looked as though he's making trades while he's holding press conferences about a previous trade. You know, the Enroth trade I didn't like as much. Murray has on the record many times said that he likes big goaltenders. So Neuvirth fits that a little more. I think Enroth's been the better goalie this year. When Enroth was Ryan Miller's backup and he played twice a month, I thought he was very average. But then since he's taken over the, quote, number one role and he's gotten a lot more minutes, he gets into those streaks where he'll have a 2-3 week stretch where he puts up numbers that would be comparable to some of the best in the league. When the Sabres won 10 out of 13 earlier in the year, it was, I would say, almost solely due to the fact that Enroth was just phenomenal. He's excellent in shootouts. You know, I don't know if that's something that, because so many games now head to there, mm-hmm. that, you know, Dallas could be saying, hey, here's where we can pick up some points to maybe get themselves back in the race. But a UFA, and I guess Murray thought, hey, let's get something for him now. I know that the third-round pick could turn into a two if Dallas wins a round this year with Enroth and Nett, but I don't think the Stars at this moment look like they're heading towards the postseason, mm-hmm. so I don't even know if that's, you know, that conditional seems like a pretty low percentage of coming true. But and Lindback, I don't know. I didn't love the trade. I don't think Lindback is anything that special, but I know he's big. Yeah. That's what Murray likes, so maybe he thinks, you know, there's maybe some potential there. But I didn't love the second trade of the day that Murray made so much just because I thought Enroth has been one of the few bright spots for the Sabres this year.
Final question for you, Brian. You know, when you look, we certainly in this room and, you know, in the Winnipeg, the listeners and the fans of the Jets have their opinions on Kane and Bogosian. But you look at from Buffalo's perspective, and you talked about Armia, and we haven't really spoken about Brendan Lemieux, but Tim Murray is known as a talent evaluator. At least that's how he was hired, based on a guy who can identify talent, giving credit for guys like Corey Perry and different players along the way. Should Jets fans be concerned at all that a talent evaluator has given up on the players he's given up on?
I don't think so. I think Murray, unlike the previous GM here, Darcy Regier, who, by the way, you know, I know Darcy has always taken a beating here, but Regier made good trades. I just think he always made them from the perspective of, geez, what am I giving up? What am I going to lose? Mm-hmm. I think Murray does it more from the other side of things, of what am I going to gain here? What potentially could it turn into? Murray, to me, is such a straight shooter in realizing the, you know, the classic line of you got to give up something good to get something good. Yeah. And I think his thought is Tyler Myers is a very good player. Drew Stafford, at the very least, can help the Jets maybe get into the postseason this year, which does, you know, that has value in a trade. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. Even if Drew Stafford doesn't play another second for the Jets next year, there's value to them making the postseason this year. So he knows he's giving up some good players there. But I think he says, you know what, Evander Kane may have some risk, but if I hit, then it's worth the trade. So I think Murray is more apt to gamble a little more. So I think maybe that's where he's going with this. And his mantra has since day one has been, let's make the Sabres be a team that's tough to play against. And I think Bogosian would definitely fit in that category.
Mm-hmm. Brian Koziel is the Buffalo Sabres radio network game host. You hear him on WGR 550 radio in Buffalo. Brian, appreciate your time this evening.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Thanks very much, Brian. Take care.
Okay.
Let's head to break. Get your dialing fingers ready now. It's time to hear from you. Get your 2 cents in on what you think the Jets did today, positive, negative, happy as can be, sad as a clam. 204-780-1290. That's one more time, 204-780-1290. We open up the phone lines next.
You're listening to NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca, brought to you by MTS.
Phone lines are open, 780-1290. You can join us for the next 26 or so minutes as we take phone calls about the Jets' big trade from earlier today.
So far, positive, I'd say 95%, but it might even be higher than 95% so far.
There's also a poll on illegalcurve.com. You can go there and vote on what you your opinion on the trades from earlier today. So check out illegalcurve.com. Tons of content there.
Trades. You didn't talk about the Enroth trade, dude?
Sorry, singular. I meant multiple players. Trade did, but whatever. This segment is brought to you by Royal Sports. Since 1974, Royal Sports has been Winnipeg's number one hockey shop, plus so much more, like soccer to snowboards. For locations, hours, and more, check them out online at royalsports.me. You can also find us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Frank Zappia says, trade should also include Jeff Parker, as they found him fishing and traded him back to the Buffalo Sabres. Do you guys get that reference?
Richard Pollock,
you don't get that reference.
No.
He was included in the Howerchuk trade, refused to report to Winnipeg, and he instead went ice fishing in Minnesota for the rest of his career. I can't believe you don't remember that reference.
Phil Housley, Scott Arneil, right?
Yeah, and the first-round pick that became Keith Tkachuk.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
17th overall, that one? 91?
I don't remember what the overall pick was. I'm actually shocked that you don't can't remember that reference.
Hey, it's been a long day. Richie's practicing law. He was on the round table. You know, we can't be too hard on Richie here.
Fair enough. Let's go to calls. Peter, welcome to NHL Midweek. What are your thoughts on the trade?
Well, I like the trade, but I've got a question for you guys, because you guys are more familiar with Myers than I am. Is he fairly durable?
In terms of injury prone, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Well, there's only one way for me to find that out. I believe he is, but I will double check the numbers for you right now. We're just helpful here.
I mean, Peter, he would be more durable than, you know, the injury, apparently injury prone Kane and Bogosian so far. So yeah, I think that, I don't know if that plays, I mean, that probably plays a little bit of a factor. Tyler Myers, bigger guy, and for the most part, I mean, you know, he has had some injuries, but he's also played a number of full seasons in the National Hockey League, so I don't think he would be categorized, Peter, as a guy who's injury prone necessarily.
Yeah, I think, Peter, just to answer the question too. Again, I don't have his stats in front of me right now. They don't give me a computer here in the studio.
You're using a computer right now.
I don't know how to use it.
Oh, okay, that's a different situation altogether.
I think there weren't concerns from what I've heard about any lingering injury problems, and I think as far as Tyler Myers is concerned, I do remember him missing some games, but I don't think he's missed anything significant.
He's played 47 games so far this year, so he's been quite durable this year. Last year, he missed 20 games. He played 62 out of 82. The year before that, which would have been the lockout year, he played 39 of 49.
He missed 9 games.
9 games, 49. The year before that, he missed some games with injuries, but his first 2 years in the league, 82 games played and 80 games played. So I would say not as injury prone as Zach Bogosian had as a reputation.
Do you like the trade, though, Peter?
Yeah, okay, well, I like the trade, and that's the thing I was kind of getting at, is that even if it's an even-up swap between those two defensemen, Bogosian, and I like Bogosian, don't get me wrong. I thought he was a guy who played hard and gave his heart and soul to the team, but he was injury-prone, and at the end of the day, you need guys who you can depend on being there for most of the season.
Peter, appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
And then, you know, to Peter's point, that is a factor for sure. You know, the guys that they've dealt have had injury problems before. Doesn't mean that the guys that they have won't have injury problems, but they have had injury problems. And you know, if you want to take the Kane's surgery and the timing of surgery at complete face value, missing a lot of time for another season, and that's a hole in your lineup. If you're not projecting him to play 82 games and only 55 or 60, you have to fill the other 20 with somebody. And the guys they have in the system now are eventually going to be able to fill those roles, but they don't have guys right now to do that. Otherwise, their fourth line wouldn't be as poor as it is right now.
Right, Richie. And obviously, you know, the Kane is the one guy here where the injury status affects the most as far as having just having the shoulder surgery. But they do their due diligence here.
For sure.
And Tyler Myers, I mean, in an 82-game grind here, especially a guy like Tyler Myers mm-hmm. playing some big minutes, the guy's physical. I don't think Tyler Myers, as you mentioned, he's not as menacing as Chris Pronger, but Tyler Myers will lay a body check. So I think it's not a concern here. I think, if anything, it would be more of a concern with Evander Kane. I mean, Evander Kane's had two surgeries now, Richie. He had a surgery last year. So, I mean, for me, I don't have as many concerns. You know, I don't know Brendan Lemieux's injury history. I don't know Joel Armia's injury history. But as far as Evander Kane goes, I think out of the seven players involved in this trade, he probably has the biggest question mark.
Well, Brendan Lemieux walks the fridge when he was younger. He had to watch out for the hip and behind.
Yeah, his dad would come and cross-check him behind into the fresh produce drawer. That's always unfortunate when that happens. 204-780-1290 is the phone number. We'll hear from you regarding the Evander Kane Zach Bogosian trade. What are your thoughts on it? Also on Twitter at Illegal Curve. We go to Beller. Beller, welcome to NHL Midweek.
Hey guys, great show as always. Just wanted to touch on the trade. Was chatting with Richie before and just said that this was an absolute robbery. I think Chevy did an amazing job, not just getting the two prospects we were talking about on Saturday, but also throwing in a draft choice there. And also getting some third line help. So, an amazing job by Chevy. I think with Kane, it's just like the problems. You know, you always refer to him as a potential 30 goal man. Like, he's hit it once, and I just don't foresee that was ever going to happen again with the Jets, especially in a third line role that he was kind of stuck playing on. So, I'm calling it right now. He never touches 30 again. As for Tyler Myers coming back, I think he's a great D. But I want to leave you with this. Does this leave us with the problem of, again, having too many right-hand side D-men? And what is the chances that the Jets have to make another trade to bring in some more help up front? And is Tyler Myers potentially, tradable?
Beller, appreciate the call. 204-780-1290. Richie, why don't you guys touch on what Beller had suggested there?
It's a really good question. And it's a similar problem that has presented itself before, to Beller's point there, right? If you have, okay, Dustin Byfuglien, again, this is, you know, the Jets are in a playoff chase here, so they'll worry about this in the offseason. But, you know, we'll talk about the offseason now because we're a hockey show, and Dustin Byfuglien is a guy that you're moving to the back end, so assuming he'll play on the back end moving forward, or you have to assume he's going to have to make a decision in that respect, the Jets, in my mind, have to sign him this offseason if they want him to play here long-term. You don't want to go into a Michael Frolik situation and give him all the leverage, okay? Because this guy hits free agency. Somebody will give him a big contract, if not more, more than somebody. So you think about it that way. Okay, if the Jets pay Byfuglien big money next offseason, this upcoming offseason, excuse me, and extend him, say $6, $7 million, you're going to pay Trouba after next season. And you're paying Myers. And again, you're paying Myers. That's important to note. We should note this. Myers, dollar-wise, is not getting as much money as he is cap hit-wise. He had a front-loaded deal, I think paid him $12 million in the first year. So his cap hit is 5.5, but dollars out by the Jets is less. And maybe they use that savings on dollars out for Myers to spend that on a guy like Byfuglien and Ladd, whoever it may be, because if they're not a cap team, the actual dollar spent is more important here.
The cap hit is $5.5 million for Tyler Myers in terms of the actual cash outlaid, the check they're writing. It's $5 million this year, $5 million next year, $4 million, $3.5 million, $3
million. And so maybe they use that savings. But, on the point of the defenseman here, you can't pay three defensemen, or at least eating in your cap, if you're going to pay Trouba big money, which I think they should. If you have Trouba and Byers and Buff, you can't pay all three of them to play the right side. You just can't. You have to make a decision. So to Beller's point, maybe you have to make a move in the offseason, and maybe that is a guy like Myers, because in my mind, it ain't going to be Trouba.
780-1290. Andrew, you're in East St. Paul. You're on NHL Midweek.
Hey, guys. Just a bit of a question, and I've heard people joke about this today, but I really have it as a serious question. Obviously, one part of this is the race to the bottom, to tank. And do you think that it really was a conscious part of the decision-making for the Sabres to do this, to accelerate the tank in this season, to just firm up getting McDavid? Because, I mean, the biggest disaster for them would have been to finish just out of the bottom two, let's say, where they'd be guaranteed McDavid or Eichel. Do you think that's too cynical, or do you think that's actually a valid part of this?
Andrew, appreciate the call. 204-780-1290. Ezzy, do you think Andrew's being too cynical?
No, I can't make judgment calls on Andrew. I don't know Andrew, but I can try to answer.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy, so I'll try to answer his question. No, Andrew, you know what? I don't think it's a cynical question to ask. I don't think it's an invalid question to ask. I think it's a valid question to ask, Richie, because the Buffalo Sabres are most likely going to finish last if they make this trade or not, Richie. They're already at the bottom of the NHL standings with the Edmonton Oilers and all that.
They traded for Anders Lindback today. He couldn't stop a beach ball.
I know, but you know, sticking to this Evander Kane trade here and Andrew's question here, I think that you go back to 1984, and TSN did a documentary about this. Who was drafted in 1984 first overall, Drew? Mario Lemieux.
Right.
And there was all that controversy with, were they tanking and they traded, was it Randy Carlyle that year, Richie, they traded? I think it was. They traded Randy Carlyle in 84, Pittsburgh.
Yes, you're right.
They
about
did.
That.
So, and that was a controversy, but I'm gonna be honest here. I don't think that they would do this because I think that there's already a good chance, Richie, that they get Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel. So I think this trade was made. Big picture, this trade was made to speed up the rebuilding process for the Sabres.
Well, the big thing, exactly. And the big thing is, and on that point, the Sabres knew they could strike now because they don't need Kane now and the Jets wanted to trade him.
Let's head to break. Stay on the line if you're calling in 780-1290. We're going to get to you in the last segment of the show. You're listening to NHL Midweek on TSN 1290.
You're listening to NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.
One final segment this Wednesday evening. The phone lines are buzzing, so we're going to get to all the calls.
Do you think Remus played Mr. Cab Driver because Patrick Kane's from Buffalo and had the cab incident, or he just randomly played it? Remus?
This is a great coincidence. I wish I could take credit for that. I was taking calls. I didn't have time to queue up a song, but I did pick this one.
Good job tonight, by the way, Remus.
I did pick, I don't know if you noticed it, a Goo Goo Dolls earlier, Johnny Resnick from Buffalo.
Ooh.
Broadway by Goo Goo Dolls, great song.
This segment is brought to you by Not Auto Corp. Be sure to visit their beautiful new luxury art, auto and art gallery at the corner of Waverly and McGilvery. For more information, check them out online at notautocorp.com. Let's get back to the phone calls here on TSN 1290. The one and only Ralph in St. James. Ralph,
yes.
Welcome to NHL Midweek.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Ralph?
I got my stick in the ice.
Attaboy.
And it's a straight blade, right, Ralph?
Right on. Life 5. You know what that is?
I do, yeah.
Life 5?
Ezzy, come on.
No, what's an I-5? I don't know.
It's a Life 5. It's a hockey stick. Anyway, I want to ask you guys a question. Are they paid in U.S. funds, the Canadian players?
U.S. funds, yeah.
Have you recently taken a look at the difference in the currency?
It's not good.
Not good. So, I wouldn't get too excited there, boys, about those million-dollar contracts. I'm not kidding. They're in trouble. But anyway, I think Evander is going to go to Buffalo, and he's going to have a really good coach. Ted Nolan is one of the best.
Well, he's going to let him play, Ralph. That's one thing. He's going to, if Ted Nolan is a coach next year, we should qualify it, Ralph. But he's going to, one thing, Ted Nolan's going to ride his horses. And so Kane's going to be one of those guys for sure on that team.
Yeah. Do you think, will Kane play next year?
Oh, yes, he will. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. He'll be healthy for training camp, they say.
Oh, yeah. I heard somebody call in and said that geographical relocation will help him.
It's possible. It seems like he needed a bit of a change of direction. Ralph, we appreciate the call. There's a lot more people we got to get to. But as always, thanks for listening,
thanks,
Ralph.
Ralph.
Yeah, we will.
Ralph is the best.
Josh is doing snow removal. Now he's on TSN 1290. Josh, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Josh, can you come to my house?
No.
Josh, your thoughts on the trade?
Well, the trade was awesome. I'm glad that Evander's gone. But besides that, if the Jets were to pick up somebody else before the trade deadline, it would probably be a third line right winger, right?
Third line left winger, I think, because you're gonna have Stafford on the right side, Frolik on the right side, and Wheeler. So your left side is gonna be Ladd, Perreault, and I think that's where you want to have somebody else fit in.
Okay. Well, I was looking at who's available and who might be making moves, and I think the Jets should look at Jagr as a UFA next year, rental player or whatever. He would bring that grizzled playoff experience to the Jets, and it would really help push them.
Well, can't complain about the talent Jaromir Jagr brings to the table, and that's one thing. Now, he is a right winger, again, left-handed shooting guy, right winger, kind of a different guy. He would certainly increase the team's puck possession in the offensive zone, And I don't think he'd cost a ton. I just wonder if that's the kind of mix they're looking for. They're going to look for more of that Daniel Winnick left guy, left wing type who can kill penalties.
Josh, appreciate the call. Thanks very much for listening. Mike is in White Ridge. Mike, welcome to NHL Midweek.
A couple of comments. I've been listening to your show for the past hour and a half, and a couple of things that I sort of disagree with. First of all, I think Tyler Myers is the best player in this deal. Evander Kane and Drew Stafford are a wash. Drew Stafford's at 31 goals in the NHL. Kane's at 30. Stafford's at 220 goal years, and he's also won a gold medal. I think he won a gold medal in the World Juniors 10 years ago. He and Kane are very similar as far as, their games are different, but they're similar as far as their capabilities, and I don't think Kane's got another 30 goal season left in him. So I think we won the trade on that side, not to mention the prospects. I'm also very glad to see Bogosian go. In my mind, was just a catastrophe with the puck in his own zone. Had no idea how to make a tape-to-tape pass, so I'm really glad to see him go. And as for the matchups or the pairings tomorrow night, I also completely disagree with you. I'll give you one of them is right. I think Trouba is going to play with Stewart, but Sherrod, I believe, will play with Bufflin. And the smart move and smart money is to play Tyler Myers with Toby Enstrom and see how they can play together. So that's kind of all I think, guys. Have a great night and enjoy your show.
Mike, appreciate the call. Thanks very much.
Yeah, Mike, you make some good points there. I'll try to touch on, you made a couple there, but I think the defense pairings, that's in flux right now. I think,
The question was what we think that the Jets will do. Now, reports that they might play Enstrom with Myers.
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
But just based on some people might think that Myers plays a little better with the stay-at-home guy. That's some people I've talked to.
Right, so. And I think you'd probably agree too, Richie, that, you know, it's not known right now who Tyler Myers' defense partner is going to be for the rest of the season in the playoffs, mm-hmm. because he hasn't even played a game yet. But I think, you know, Mike makes a good point. He believes Tyler Myers is the best player in this trade. And obviously, Chevy is hoping that's the case mm-hmm. as well. I mean, mm-hmm. Tyler Myers has won a Calder Trophy. He's had a couple of down years here. But this is still a guy that has a lot of talent. And, you know, I agree in the sense that I think Tyler Myers is slightly better than Zach Bogosian. And that's not a knock, because I've always backed up Bogosian. And I think he's played better this year, especially than he has last year. But I think when you look at, you know, who is going to ultimately win this trade, it's going to be 2-3 years from now, guys, sure. Especially when you factor in the prospects and all of that. And Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian, they're not very old either. So I think, you know, whether or not you think the Jets got the best player in the trade, this is a trade that both teams hope will help them in the long term.
Today, the Jets won the trade because they improve on the ice
for, sure.
for this season, for sure. and Drew Stafford should be able to get them into the playoffs, or should help them get into the playoffs. As for who wins it on the long term, like you said, it's going to take a number of years.
And just quickly on that Myers-Enstrom thing, one thing, I know we got calls here, Drew, but mm-hmm. if you want Myers to be the offensive guy that Brian came on earlier and talked about, do you want him with Enstrom? Did you want Bufflin to be an offensive guy with Enstrom? Did that work? So that's just a question I have.
Cliff in Transcona, you're on NHL Midweek. Welcome to the program.
Cliff there.
Cliff, are you there? Nope, looks like we lost Cliff. Okay, Devin in Tyndall Park, you're up next. Devin, welcome to NHL Midweek. Your thoughts on the trade.
Hey, boys, two-time Ezzy Award winner for Coach of the Year, so I thought I'd call in here.
Devin, good to hear you.
That's awesome.
Ezzy, how's it going, buddy?
Good, how are you doing? What do you think of the trade?
I thought it was pretty good. The one thing I want to ask you guys, and I'm sure the number geeks out there in Twitter land will be, you know, doing the numbers here, but with Kane and Bogo's money off the books,
uh-huh.
is that not going to open up for possibly more trades coming that'll give us that extra left winger?
Well, it definitely
10, 11 mil?
It definitely could, because you got Bogosian just over $5 million on the books cap-wise. Mm-hmm. You got Kane just over $5 million on the books cap-wise. And then you have Myers at 5.5, and Stafford's at 4, I believe, but half of it's being eaten by the Sabres. So, yeah, you could open exactly. a little bit more room, and the Jets have to spend that money, but absolutely, Devin, there's more room there.
I really like, by the way, the Trouba and Tyler Myers pairing.
You like the two right side guys together, or you like them being a part of your top four?
Trouba and Myers, one can play left handed, it doesn't matter.
yeah.
Well, I think, Devin, you know, it's a good point too, and I think it's important to note as well, and I think you've thought about this. Having that first round pick, even though it's a late first round pick, that's another way that you can improve the bottom six if you're Chevy.
It's a stock draft, right, boys? Have a good night, eh?
Appreciate it, Devin, and thanks for being Ezzy's life coach. I assume that's why you're the two-time Ezzy Award.
Devin and I have been Twitter buddies for a long time. You know, we've never met in person, but I already know he's a good guy.
I just won the Ezzy Awards just for complaining that I haven't won one.
You're not the only person who's won an Ezzy Award for that
the
reason.
The criteria is interesting. I've seen Ezzy work on it before with a pencil. No paper, though.
Have a good night, boys.
Thanks, Devin. Matt and Earl Grey, you're the last caller on the program this evening. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, gents. How we doing tonight?
Doing well. How about yourself, Matt?
Doing not bad. Just getting off work. A few things I wanted to say. You know, this is one of the first big blockbuster deals that the team has made since we came back. Chevy doesn't really rush anything. He's always been very patient. Just wondering what your guys' input on, do you see him making another trade for, let's say, a top six guy for forward? You know, utilizing that first-round pick that we got from Buffalo and maybe dangling out a guy like Tyler Myers who, you know, it would be great to have him on our team, but you know what? We are so log-jammed on the back end, and, you know, we could really use a guy, let's say, if you could actually turn the key on him, a guy like Eberle or, you know, somebody of that sort of skill level.
Matt, appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
The idea is there, and I like the idea. The thing is, if you're going to flip Myers, again, talk about this, if you're going to flip Myers for somebody like that, you're probably doing it in the offseason after you've signed Bufflin, if you've signed Bufflin. In terms of the trade this year, I think what this trade does, improves depth in the system prospect-wise, makes it more of a possibility that Shevardnadze trades a second-round pick, for example, for a third-line, second-line guy who can help him down the stretch, whereas before the trade, maybe that second-round pick was not available.
That's it for this Wednesday and what's been a tremendously hectic day here on TSN 1290. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Royal Sports, and Not Auto Corp. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Michael Remus, doing a great job today getting us on and off the air. For Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. Saturday, 12 noon, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Until then, we wish you good night and good luck.
You've been listening to
NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca. Brought to you by MTS.